getting into the scripture, and today we'll look into Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 24 to 30. If you don't understand my accent, please let me know. I have a special translator for me. Sean will be translating for me if you don't understand me from my English accent, sorry, Indian accent to American accent. Okay.
It's easier to understand than Dr. Paul when he's here.
Okay, let me read the passage. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 24 to 30. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, so for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Let me pray. Father, we thank you, God. Open our hearts. Open our mind. Speak to us this morning through your word, God. I be decreased, and God, you be increased. We give all the glory and honor to you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. As we see verse 24 to 30, I want to take back to last six chapters, just a quick overview, what happened in Gospel of Mark, what Mark is writing. We see Mark begins his gospel account with John's message, the baptism of Jesus, temptation, Jesus beginning his ministry in Galilee and the surrounding regions, announces his message, calling of the disciples, ministers in different places, commissions the 12, rebukes the scribes and Pharisees, identifies his spiritual family, whoever does the Father's will. And in chapter 4, we see Jesus started to preach in parables and also demonstrating his power by calming down the waves, casting out unclean spirits, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding more than 5,000, walks on water, heals many people. Jesus very busy doing all these things. And now we see in chapter 7 where Jesus have this debate with the Pharisees and the scribes about the rituals and traditions, what defiles a person. Last week, Pastor Ryan gave us a sermon, explained how a person is defiled, not by something from outside, but within, from his own heart. So today we will see what's happening here in verse 24 to 30. So after all this debate and all this busy conversation, now Jesus, verse 24, it says, he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. Jesus, doing all these things, now leaving the place, for the first time he is leaving the boundaries of Israel. He's totally going into a different part. He's going into a pagan region. Tyre and Sidon is totally different from the Jewish people. It seems like he just wants to be away from these people. There are different reasons can be said. Maybe some people say like Jesus just wants to be away because people have been waiting to kill him, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Jewish people, and Jesus wants to go away from them because his time has not yet come. And some people say, like, no, he's overexhausted, he just wants some quiet time, that's why he wants to be away from the people. But we have some information from other Gospels where we see Jesus often have his own time. He spent his own time praying to his Father. He also spent time with his disciples, equipping them, preparing them for the upcoming mission. And Jesus also spent time with them personally, and also he himself preparing for his main task, that he's going on the cross. So there can be several reasons, but we see here clearly in verse 24 where Jesus do not want to be in public. He did not want anyone to know where he is, so he want to be just away from the people. This is the only time in the record of our Lord's life that he left ancient borders and went to pagan borders. Let me give quickly a brief idea what kind of place he is going into. Tyre and Sidon. The region north of Galilee, all these regions had belonged to Israel during the time of the judges, and descendants of the 12 tribes had resettled in the area following Babylonian exile. Most of the Jews would have considered this place unclean. The region in which these cities were located had a long history of paganism and opposition to the Jews. So we see very clearly Tyre and Sidon is a region filled with all idol worship. It's a region of paganism. And Jesus is going to this place with his disciples where Jews would consider it as an unclean place. For instance, the wicked queen Jezebel, who incited Ahab to worship the false god Baal and persecuted Elijah the prophet, was a daughter of the Sidonian king. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30 onwards. So the paganism in and around Tyre and Sidon in this region was very famous for idol worship and all kind of idolatry. So now this is the place where Jesus and the disciples are entering and staying in the house. And we see verse 25, but immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. We saw in the previous verse where Jesus wants to be away from the people. He do not want people to know where he is. He is in the house, but still he could not be hidden. There are many reasons he could not be hidden, because already his miracles, signs and wonders, his great teachings, people already heard all the good stuff about him, all the signs and wonders spread everywhere, like, because there are different people followed Jesus for different reason. Particularly one group of people always followed Jesus because they have been benefited by him, because their sickness were healed, and also people come after Jesus so that their physical needs have been met by Jesus. So all this news about this person has spread all over, so he could not be hidden. This light couldn't be hidden in the darkness. So Christ's light was shining even in this pagan region. So we see here in verse 25, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. We don't have much detail about this woman. We will see in the coming verse, like, we have a glimpse who this woman is. But in verse 25, just says a woman whose little daughter. We don't know how little this daughter is. We do not know about her husband. We don't know how many children she have. But here it says she have a little daughter, and this little daughter had an unclean spirit. And she heard of him, that is Jesus, and she came and fell down at his feet. We don't know exactly what she heard. Maybe she heard all the miracles what Jesus did. Maybe she heard, like, he made the lame to walk, he made the blind to see, he made the deaf to hear. He feed more than 5,000. Even the sea, even the storm, even the waves obeyed him. She may be here, like, even he raised the dead to life. She might hear all those things, and even she heard that he cast out unclean spirit. So this woman heard about Jesus, who lives in a pagan region, and coming now, hearing and coming and falling at the feet of Jesus. Verse 26 says, now who this woman is. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Mark used this verse immediately often in his gospel, more than in any other books in New Testament. Whenever he used this word immediately, The frequent use of this word stresses the importance of the event and helps to show Christ's divine ministry on this earth. So that's why he's writing, but immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, then he goes on talking about who this woman is. We see this woman who came and fell at the feet of Jesus. She's a Gentile. She's a Syrophoenician by birth, and she's a Greek, a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel, an alien to the covenant of promise. The woman was a Greek and a Syrophoenician by birth. Phoenician at this point was under the domination of Syria. That's why she called as a Syrophoenician woman. She have nothing to do with the Jews. She have no dealings with the Jewish people, and she's an alien and she's a stranger to God's promised children. It says she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She begged the Lord. She heard about him. She came and she falling at his feet, and now she's begging him to cast out this demon from her daughter. We don't know how long this daughter have been under the influence of the demon. We don't know how much she struggled. We don't know what kind of lifestyle they live, since they live in a pagan region, but we know that she is struggling and tormented by this unclean spirit. This poor child is under the power and domain of this unclean spirit. Now this woman is coming and pleading with Jesus, like, could you cast the demons out? And what was Jesus' response? And he said to her, let it be done for you. Was it the response from Jesus? No, it's totally different. He said, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. The Lord, who is merciful, who said, I came not to be served, but to serve, who did all those signs and wonders, who helped people, who fed people, like who saw people's brokenness, who had compassion and served and ministered. Now he is the one who is saying, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. The children eat first referred to the children of Israel. He was clearly saying his ministry has a priority. His mission has a priority, particularly in this place, in this particular time period. His ministry has a priority. He didn't come here for ministry to Tyre and Sidon. He did not come to minister to these people, but to take care of the children of Israel, the promised one. So Jesus was called first to proclaim God's kingdom to the people of Israel, but he also spoke of a time when his disciples would take this ministry beyond the region, beyond the Jewish people, but the gospel go into Gentiles. We see in Acts, we see how Peter taking the gospel to the Gentile, and we see Paul taking the mission, the gospel to all the Gentile area. We see in Romans 1, where Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. So we see the priority here, how God made his evangelistic plan. It's nothing great, it's nothing good that these people are special, but simply God chose these people. Let's quickly turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7. What God is saying about these people. I'm trying to be fast to keep everything on time. Let's see Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It's nothing to do with the people of Israel. It's simply God chose these people and he chose to love these people. God's evangelistic plan is, which he gave the promise to Abraham, he's giving a threefold promise. He's saying, like, out of you, there is a people group going to come. Out of you, there is going to be a nation. And then he's giving a third promise, which is a singular, which he says, through you, Christ is going to come and save the people, that the whole nation will see this particular nation, that this nation God is going to bless and God is going to do all great works to these people, so the rest of the world will see who God of this nation. That's God's plan. So there is nothing to do with people of Israel, but simply God's grace and love. So Jesus saying, this is not my priority. My main task is to serve my children, to my people. And we see in verse 28, this woman's response to what the Lord said. She looked at Jesus and saying, how dare you can offend me with your word? How dare you can call me dog? She started to debate. She started to argue. She pointed Jesus like, I'm here with a broken heart. I'm here, you know, pleading for my daughter. My daughter is struggling. She's dying because of this unclean spirit. No, that's not her response. It's one of the amazing verse, like the way how she responds to Jesus. She's saying like, but she answered him, yes, Lord. She's saying, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She didn't argue with Jesus. She didn't defend her. She didn't say to him like, how can you call me dog? How can you compare me? She didn't make any argument with Jesus, but simply saying, yes, Lord, yes. I'm a dog, maybe. What a humble response from her. She said, yes, Lord, I own it. It is true. The children's bread not to be cast to the dogs, but they were never denied the crumbs of the bread. They're allowed a place under the table that they may be ready to receive them. She's saying, yes, Lord, we are not allowed to eat the food from the children, but still there is a place for the dogs where they wait under the table. So when Jesus referred to the dog, he did not refer to the wild dogs. He did not refer to the dogs who stays outside, but Jesus refers to, if you see the original translation, it talks about the dogs where the Jewish people would have as a pet, who always keep in their house under the table. And these dogs, they wait. Whenever the crumb fall from the table, that's their food. And whenever people, after they fed the children, they will also feed the dog. So that's the dog Jesus referred here. And this woman is saying, yes, even the dogs have a place under the table. She did not say that, you know, yes, I deserve it. I need. No, I don't deserve. But still, I also have a place. Let me wait. I'm not looking for a loaf of bread. I'm not looking for a big portion. I'm not looking for a main meal. But I'm waiting for a leftover. Even that one crumb, that's enough for me. That's a plea for her daughter that she is pleading to God. She came, she fell at the feet of Jesus, she's begging, and now she is saying, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I don't deserve this, but please have mercy. It's like the tax collector who went to the temple and prayed. We are very familiar with this passage where Jesus sharing in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, if I'm not wrong, where he giving this parable like the Pharisee and the tax collector praying. The Pharisee who prayed, he came and he said, Lord, I did this, I did that. I'm not like this tax collector who is a sinner. And then we see the tax collector who is standing far away, not even lifting his head towards the heaven, but bowing down and beating his chest, saying that, have mercy, I'm a sinner. That's his prayer. We see the same attitude with this woman. Yes, Lord, I don't deserve. But even that single crumb can satisfy me. That's enough for me. I'm not looking for the main meal, but still that single thing. She's like the persistent widow who kept coming to the unrighteous judge looking for justice. And what's our Lord's response to her? Verse 29. And he said to her, for this statement You may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. The Lord's response to her is like very simple. For this statement, you may go your way. He didn't say anything more than that. He simply said, your faith is enough. Like you trusted. This is enough. Just go your way. And whatever you ask is done. The demon has left your daughter. It shows the power of God, the authority over the demons, that Christ have every authority over the demons and unclean spirit. He didn't go with her. He didn't say anything to her that I will come with you. She didn't even ask Christ to come with her. But Christ said, go on your way. The demon has left your daughter. He didn't even say the demon is going to flee once you reach home. He didn't give any super magic, or he didn't do any binding and casting, these and all those silly stuff which people practice, you know, binding and all those things. He simply said, go. The demon has left your daughter. Christ can conquer Satan at a distance, and it was not only when the demon saw him that they yielded his power, but even when they don't see him, for the Spirit of the Lord is not bound, nor bounded. Nothing can bound his spirit, nothing can bound his power. He can do wherever he is, and his words have power. And we see this woman who desperately coming and pleading to Jesus, now she received what she asked. I want to ask you this morning, all the mothers, how much you are praying for your children, how much you are pleading to God, how much you are seeking God for your lost children, if they are lost, if they haven't know the God, how much you are talking about God to your children, how much you are spending time in prayer. I remember how much my mother prayed for me that I'm standing here today. I remember when I walked away from God, every day and night she cried and she wept and she prayed day and night. She fasted for me, she prayed. Every time I remember I used to pass by my house and she will be standing at the door and she will be calling, Sam, come back home, come back. And she'll be praying for me. Every time I see her in tears, that she prayed desperately asking God that God would change my heart. Are you praying for your loved ones? Are you interceding for your family members? Are you interceding for your neighbors? Are you interceding for the people whom you know? How much time you spend with your children talking about God? It's very, very important. That's a great responsibility God has given to parents. Like today, women fight for different roles. Like, can women preach? Can women do these? And all those things. And immediately in my mind, like, God has already given you a big task to raise your children in a godly way, to teach and train them. Why you want to get off your task and go after something else? Why you want to lose your responsibility and take someone's responsibility? We should remember that God has given each person a responsibility to do on this earth. She went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. She came home depending upon the word of Christ that her daughter was healed, and so she found it, the devil was gone out. She found her daughter not in any restlessness or toss, but very quiet, laid on the bed. Previously, this little child might be tormented. She might be restless. We see in other gospels, we see in different places how whenever a person is possessed by demon, whenever they are under the influence of unclean spirit, how they torment by themselves, how they don't stay in one place, they roam and they do all those things. They cannot be controlled by people. I remember my father, when he was in high school, he had a very similar experience. He was possessed by demon. And they tried many places. He is from Hindu background. They tried like all the Hindu rituals. They did all the sacrifice to the idols. They went to different places. Even they went to a mosque. They went to They tried the Islam belief. Nothing could help him. And finally, believers came and prayed for him. And the Lord had grace upon him and he set him free. And he served the Lord. So this woman might tried even many things. Since she's from a pagan region, she might did all the sacrifice, she might did all the practice, she tried all the places, and finally she came to the place and she fell down at his feet. It shows that she's very clear, knowing that there is no other hope. This is the only final hope for me. This is the only last final solution for me. This is the only person who can set me free. You and me, we are not looking for the crumbs. We have full access today through the blood of Jesus. Romans 5, it says we have peace with God, with Father through his Son's blood. And he has given us the right to call him Abba, Father. Christ himself, Romans 8 says, Christ himself seated at the right hand of the Father and interceding for us, advocating for us, praying for us. We have a great intercessor. Whenever I see, like whenever I feel down, I always remember God reminds me that I have two great intercessors, more than people, more than friends, more than family. That God the Son interceding for me and that God the Holy Spirit interceding for me. Two person in Godhead interceding for me. What else I need? Because he knows the perfect will of the Father. The Son knows the perfect will of the Father. The Spirit knows the perfect will of the Father. More than what I know, more than what I need, they know what I need. So God himself, God sent interceding for us. So we have full access today. We don't need to stay far away, but always coming in his presence. And we can bring our supplications, we can bring our need, we can cry out to him, Abba, Father, we can pray to our loved ones. We can intercede for our family, we can intercede for the people, those who are away from God, those who tasted the love of God and walked away from him. Are we doing it? Are we using this access? Are we using this freedom? Are we using for our personal gain? Are we just simply coming to God so that we can get some benefits, so that we can be stay blessed, so that we can enjoy some material blessings on this earth? No. Everything will perish. Everything is going to pass away one day. But one thing will not perish, that's your soul. Are you praying for your loved ones? Are you seeking the Lord? That's a challenge this morning. I want to give it to you. May the Lord bless you. Amen.